Hi everyone, my name is Allison. I'm gonna apologize now. I am not great at public speaking, even though I am sitting alone in my bedroom, laptop and cell phone in front of me, no one else but two dogs and a cat in the room. I hate public speaking. I feel like an ass. But I decided I had this great idea, which, as far as I could find, had not been tackled in a podcast before, about career changes and going to pastry school. And I kind of wanted to go over that. I think it's going to be interesting. It's been very interesting for me. And I know a lot of people have thought about it and talked about it. And, you know, we hear about it, but no one really ever talks about what it's like being in pastry school or going to culinary school. It's just one of these things that either you do or don't do. And yeah, I decided to do it because, quite basically, where I was from in eastern Iowa, there were very few bakeries where people had ever actually stepped inside a true professional pastry kitchen by people who've been trained at culinary school of any kind, or even been to France and gotten training in France. You move to the Chicagoland and good luck finding a bakery or pastry program anywhere at any restaurant where at least two of the chefs have not been to France and did not graduate one of the major culinary schools. And let me tell you, the things I have learned in the 3 months I have been in pastry school in Chicago are crazy. Just different career paths you never would have thought about are crazy. But my husband and I made the decision to uproot our lives, move our kids, move, well, not the oldest, he chose not to come because he's stupid. But we made the decision to move because we were both unsatisfied in Iowa. They're limited culture, limited things to do, limited experiences. If you don't know the right people, much like anywhere, you're never really going to get anywhere, no matter how hard you work. We did have a culinary and pastry program in our local community college, which actually ranks towards the bottom of culinary and pastry colleges in the United States, like really low, super low. Whereas Chicago actually holds, I believe it's 11 of the top 50. Or the Chicagoland area, to be more fair, number 50 being Elgin Community College, number 6 being the one I'm currently in, number 6 in the entire nation, by the way, through National Louis University, Kendall College, which was featured on The Bear, and I think just season 2. I just started watching The Bear. I haven't watched the whole thing. But anyway, we'll come back to that at some point. And one thing I want to do for everyone, besides crush or inflate your dreams, is kind of, I want to encourage you to reach for whatever you want to reach for. It's hard. It is really hard as a older person to make that choice. I was very lucky. Several years ago, not several, a few years ago, I was a store manager at a resale shop. You know, it was a place I thought I was happy at, and very quickly, I realized I was not particularly happy there. I got that store management position. It wasn't even what I wanted. It was what I was offered. I had actually made a complaint to my boss about, you know, it's kind of unfair and bullshit that I do all this extra work. I don't get paid differently than anyone else. I don't get paid better than anyone else. But I'm doing all this extra work, and no one else will do it. They just let it sit there for me, and that's not fair. And what I really meant to have happen was for my boss to kind of look at the other 5 supervisors and say, grow the hell up. Every single one of you can pick up the phone and call the credit card company. Every single one of you can sit there and go through these transactions and figure out where the credit cards went wrong. She is not the only one who could do it. Start doing it. Stop leaving work piled up for her. And then 2 weeks later, she made me store manager. So that was fun. You know, that was great. And honestly, I think I would have enjoyed it, except for she tackled on a lot more things, such I didn't mind writing schedules. I didn't mind doing things like that. I don't mind handling the hard things. It's just she expected my entire life to be that store. She didn't pay me enough for that. She was honestly only paying me $40,000 a year, which to handle all the extra stress and to give up my life, essentially, to be there, that wasn't enough money. Honestly, $40,000, just about anywhere in the United States, you guys, isn't enough money. People who tell you it is are lying. and they're leaving a lot of big chunks out. $40,000 in the United States right now if you have to pay a mortgage, if you are living on the grid, if you live someplace where you can't take public transportation to work, is not enough money. It's not even enough money to cover your medical expenses. God forbid you should have any real ones besides a normal physical or catching a cold where you need to go buy NyQuil. So, anyway, my husband was working sales. He was a financial manager at a camper store. We won't go into which one. But for him, what was happening was he just didn't have a good team around him. The sales team were failing at their jobs and kept screwing over to the financial managers. Every time a sale fell apart, the financial managers took a hit. Every time the salespeople promised something that couldn't be delivered, the financial managers had to figure out how to make it work, and then they weren't getting paid. My husband was earning $10 an hour, and technically, when you look at the 15 hours of overtime he was working every week, he made far less than that. Especially since he wasn't getting the sales pay that he was supposed to get. He was dealing with upset people left, right, and center. He was dealing with people who would cancel their sales after their service department couldn't get their shit together enough to complete a camper for the scheduled pickup date. So, yeah. Just a thought process. If you ever decide to go into sales for automotive and you want to be a financial manager to try to work up that ladder, be aware that it is not a great financial prospect, but it is a necessary one to climb up that ladder. So I quit my sales management job, and with the lack of stress of that, we end up getting pregnant and having my daughter. And I got a job at a chocolate shop, a local chocolate shop in Davenport, Iowa. It was called Chocolate Manor. The owner was wonderful and probably the most encouraging person for us to move. And I will talk to her later about maybe being on this podcast before I give you her name, because, you know, I don't know if this podcast goes anywhere and I don't want to be on it. I wouldn't want my name out there. But Chocolate Manor, she recently sold it, and we will also discuss why that happened at a later date. Because probably sometime in the near future, we'll discuss the changing world of culinary with rising costs. As much as things are expanding, things are also shrinking at the same time. Quality is both going up and down for affordability. It's insane. But yeah, anyway, so this is episode 1. You have a minor introduction to me. I'm super nervous and I super apologize. There's going to be a lot of bad editing because I don't know what I'm doing. I don't even have the proper equipment for this. I have a cell phone and a laptop. And for now, that is it. Hopefully, if this goes well, I can eventually get a microphone and a quiet spot where there's no pets to work on everything. But okay, episode 1, mild introduction done. And yes, I have a checklist. So for those of us who decide to change careers, going back to college is generally something we must do. I knew I wanted to go to pastry school. I love baking. However, I really wanted to... I never had the experience of a really good croissant. I actually, up until recently, did not like croissants. I didn't like Danish. To me, it was just a glorified iced donut with jam in the center of it or cream cheese. And that was all I really had access to. Even the so-called artisan bakeries that were close by, which was, you know, a whole whopping 2 of them. It was fun flavors, but not great. Like, everyone's like, oh my god, the croissants are so good. And I was like, they're okay. They're really buttery and bready. They're not excellent by any means. There is a bakery here where I live. I'm not going to hone in too much, but the bakery is called Bellbird Bake Shop in LaGrange. It's not the same town I live in. But Bellbird Bake Shop, if you ever have come from, you know, Iowa or maybe Nebraska and you're like, you know, I've never had anything made by a world-class chef, which, let me tell you, in Iowa, if you're not in Des Moines in the downtown area, you've never really been to Chicago, you've never had a world-class chef make you anything, probably, if you're from where I'm from, and you need to come to LaGrange, to the Bellbird Bake Shop, where they have 2 amazing chefs. The wife of the team is a pastry chef, like an executive pastry chef. She worked for James Beard nominees. She has a great background. I don't have the information pulled up in front of me, and it feels weird to share too much about people I don't know. I've met her. She seems really kind, really nice. I've never met him, but he also has an amazing resume. They both went to amazing culinary and pastry schools, like ones I couldn't even dream of going to, kind of good. I believe they both trained in France for a time, but yeah, they've both been kind of all over the world. And let me tell you, the difference between a croissant made by a home baker or someone who learned at a crappy culinary school versus what they produce, wow. So all I can say is wow. I get it, why people like croissants now. But I have tried other croissants in the area made by chains or other known bakeries, and let me tell you, they do not compare. If we're coming to the Chicagoland area, make a point to go over to LaGrange. LaGrange is actually a pretty cute, neat town anyway. Go there. Go to Billboard Bake Shop. Double check their hours. They sell out almost daily. But go there. Get a Danish. It is the most amazing thing I've ever had. Now that I know a Danish is actually not a donut with icing and jam in the center. You know, open-faced donut, essentially. It's beyond that. It's flaky and buttery and delicious and so many layers. Anyway, I'm sorry. Continuing on. But this is why I wanted to come here. This is why I wanted to go to pastry school, is because of that alone. I now know what a Danish is supposed to be. I now know what a croissant is supposed to be. There are all these fancy cakes people from around me were making, and I was just like, it is dry and tastes like box mix. It is not that great. You have great decorating skills with your American buttercream and fondant, but you know, I wonder what all these things I see in TV are. Like, what the hell is a gelée? I wanted to know that. Or gâteau. All these things you end up wanting to know, which, by the way, that's a cake. I didn't know, and I want to know, and I want to know how to do it right. And that's why I decided this was the right move for me, is to figure out culinary school. And so when I started Googling, because you know that's what we do these days, we Google and we figure things out. And looking around, Elgin Community College was number 50, relatively affordable, but then just not that much further. There was Kendall College, and there was the French Pastry School, both of which have been taken up by other universities now. And I'm actually not sure the French Pastry School is still a thing. I kind of hope so, but Kendall College is one I thought would be right for me, for various reasons. They had better graduation rates. They had better job placement rates. These are all things we're going to go over when I really get depressing. But yeah, I arranged a trip to come up while my husband was job searching. He had 3 interviews scheduled this same weekend, or I'm sorry, it wasn't a weekend, it was same week that I scheduled to see this college. I made sure to arrange everything just so. Got a really good, and I mean really good, deal on the Hyatt Regency downtown Chicago. Right up the street from the school, it's a couple block walk. And let me tell you, that hotel is amazing. If you go on Priceline and get that deal, totally worth it. It was like $90 for a king size bedroom in the nicest hotel I've ever stayed in my life, and I will probably never get to stay there again. But yeah, amazing. But I toured the school. I had a great student enrollment advisor. His name was Alex. Almost everyone who has been affiliated with Kendall loves it. The people who don't love it are usually the people who don't do well. And they kind of expect to be excused from financial burdens. They expect to be excused from not showing up to class. They expect to be excused from a lot of things that, you know, these days in American high school you get excused from. And we will take a foray now for the rest of the episode into the financial burden of going to culinary school. And honestly, probably not the rest of the episode, because we should probably talk about what moving here was like as well. Yay, it's a big first episode, guys. Very big first episode, and Lord knows for me, a lot of editing and re-recording. Thank God I have a husband who went to film school and does a podcast on his own, which I will introduced, because I don't actually remember what the name of it is. I'm a Great Wife. And it's, I think it's actually a YouTube show, not a podcast. It's really weird and short-lived and sporadic. They've been doing it, he and three or four of his people he knows in the entertainment industry have been working on this for like 4 years. They've done like a whopping 4 episodes in 4 years, so like an episode a year. Just because they're busy, you know, everybody's got a life. But it's an interesting thing. We'll come back to that at a later date because he is not here for me to ask. So culinary school. I, for the baking and pastry program at Kendall College, for me, and this is taken straight from my bill, guys, total tuition for 1 year is $21,455. And next year, well, next year I'll only be in school for one quarter because I am what's called an accelerated student. I had the majority of my gen eds already done before I got there. I went for business management previously. I had dropped out of college to work full time because my boss at the time told me if I wanted to be full time, I really didn't have a choice. I had to figure it out. But anyway, coming back to this. There's gonna be some editing. Anywho, coming back to this, it's $21,455 to attend Kendall College. This does not, in that particular number, include student housing. It does not include the student insurance. That's how much it costs for me personally at this moment. Next quarter, we are actually going to add on the insurance for me and my whole family, which ups the bill about $14,000. But that's me, my husband, and three children for that insurance. For a single person, I believe it's like $2,700, somewhere in there, for just insurance, which you are required to have if you're going to attend National Lewis University. A lot of kids can get it through their parents. If you can't, that is what it's going to cost you. This also includes international students who have to have American insurance plans. So tuition is broken down this way. Our actual tuition to attend college is $18,720. The uniform and pastry kit or knife kit costs $1,100. If you go through the culinary program, it is going to be the knife kit. I'm in pastry, so it's a pastry kit. I have less knives, but I have some other fun things that they don't have, so I'm not really sure what all that breaks down to. I have a U-Pass that is also optional. U-Pass is $320. Now, do better research than I did, because I just Googled U-Pass before I decided to sign up, which made it sound like the Metro was covered. The Metro is the train to and from the suburbs of Chicago. The Metro is covered by exactly two major Chicago schools. Kendall College and National Lewis University is not one of them. I believe Roosevelt College is still down there, also not one of them. It is the University of Illinois Chicago. That is the big one, and I believe Northwestern also covers it, but Northwestern, I think, technically might be in Evanston, and with a campus downtown. Loyola does not cover Metro. The Art Institute of Chicago does not cover Metro. It is just those two major universities that cover the Metro. Be aware, I got the U-Pass because I thought it would cover Metro. I am paying $76 a month to take the Metro to and from, which honestly, it is a giant discount, believe it or not. You used to pay, if you buy a daily ticket, it ends up costing about that per week. If you buy the weekly pass, it costs about double that. So definitely worth it to just pay the $76 at the beginning of the month. Anywho, you pass the $320, but that covers the bus. It covers the L. I think it covers Pace, which is another public transportation thing, but think of it kind of like Uber. You can arrange your ride. It is a share, so you don't get to ride it by yourself. So it's a ride share program. But definitely worth it, whether you live downtown, whether you live out in the burbs, it's worth it. If it's really cold and rainy, or you just have a lot of weight to carry, or if you just are lazy and don't want to walk, or just that sort of tired, totally worth it. The bus system in L is difficult to learn for me, because I came from somewhere that doesn't have any sort of public transportation. No one will ever tell you the Quad City area of Eastern Iowa, Western Illinois is worth a damn. It's not. It's a joke. Taxis do not just drive around. You have to call and arrange for it to pick you up. And forget Uber, forget Lyft. They don't exist, generally speaking, during the week. They only pretty much happen Thursday night through Sunday afternoon when people are out drinking at the bars or at the casinos. Otherwise, they, yeah, just don't exist in our area. Oh, and even worse, how selective people are with those as to, well, you're only going about 5 minutes from where you're at, walk, we don't want to take you because you're going to tip us bad, or it's just not worth our time. Anywho, continuing on, get a U-Pass if you decide to come to Chicago. It is pretty worth it. I didn't really use it up until late November, and quite basically, it's been totally worth it. I've taken my son downtown and used it. I've been there on my own recently and used it, not having to do a school. It is good through the entire school year. It is 1,000% worth it. I'm thinking maybe by the end of the school year, I will have actually gotten a number of free rides out of this. Next year, I probably won't sign up for it because I will only be downtown for like a quarter. Anyway, continuing on, student fees. Student fees are $825. I apologize for the tangent about U-Pass. That was very long. I apologize. Anyway, $825 is your student fee. Student fee covers your lunch. It covers, you do get a fresh hot lunch every single day at Kendall College. Monday through Friday, fresh hot lunch. It's pretty good. It's not great. I've been moderately disappointed with some of the lunches. Could be better, could be worse. They're okay. It's cafeteria stuff. Some of it's really nice. Like for our professional development the other week, when it was actually the real chefs, not students, cooking and serving, I had the best macaroni and cheese I've ever had in my life. And the chef serving, I don't know his name. He is in the cafeteria lunchroom area every single day. Very lovely man. He was like, hey, honey, is that enough for you? And I know some of you are going to get all up in arms about being called honey. And I'm not. This man is old enough to be my father. He wasn't trying to be gross or rude. He was just asking a question. And he loaded that shit up. I did not get one scoop. I got three. And it was way too much food for me. And it was delicious. I made macaroni and cheese in my cooking class at school. And let me tell you, my mac and cheese did not compare to his mac and cheese. So good. Yeah. I want that mac and cheese. Anyway. So it covers your lunches. Some days are better than others. What I've noticed is Fridays is kind of like world exploration. And when they do that, it tends to be much better than the average fare there. There's only so many times you can eat lemon chicken piccata and not be like, that's gotten old and greasy. But okay, what else does it use? If you go on class trips, the transportation is covered, which, yes, you will go on class trips once a quarter. Food used in your classes, it's not free. The culinary students make fresh fish, which is disgusting. I've had to do that once. I will never do it again. You have to rip a head off of fish. It's disturbing. But yeah, you have to cover your costs for your students, guys. Like, it's expensive. And honestly, that's $825 is what it costs for the entire year. That's how much it costs me for 2 months of groceries living here. Somebody like, oh, that's really expensive. It's not. That's pretty much, we spend about $150 a week on groceries. We spend about $200 a week on groceries in Iowa. Now, yes, we have lost one house member, but he wasn't really eating at home anyway. And, but yeah, things are expensive. Like, milk is $2 cheaper here. Eggs are god awful everywhere right now, but even eggs were cheaper here. But yeah, just Just a thought, you know, Illinois might be an expensive state to live in, but at least their governor's like, dude, shit's expensive here. We want you to be able to eat, so we're gonna make your groceries not suck. And then there's the course fee of $450. That's a normal course enrollment fee. No matter which college you go to, tuition and course enrollment are not the same thing. So be ready and aware for that. $450 for all the courses I have to take this 1 year. It's not bad. And let's see, I'm probably gonna have to look deeper into that. I thought I did, but so the Kendall College is cut up into quarters, and I will probably need to double check in how the quarters are cut up. I don't know if the full year is all four quarters or two quarters or three quarters or how it works. I know things are cut up weird, and several of the students I know were like, well, my grant doesn't cover the entire year, it only covers this. And I was like, yeah, but if you're making payments, you're already paying for the part that, you know, isn't covered by your grant. So just be aware of that. Yeah, grants and all that, that's fun. That is a fun thing to figure out. We'll get into that later, though. But okay, if you're a younger person or a single person and you're not sure you actually want to stay in Chicago or not, and you don't want to get locked into a lease that requires you stay from like August to August or whatever, but you want a lease that maybe, but you also don't want to necessarily do a weekly or monthly lease because a lot of times those places aren't great or they're really insanely expensive. It leaves you with limited options. It leaves you with extended stay hotels, which downtown Chicago is quite different from, you know, suburbs. Extended stay out in suburbs, you get a kitchenette, you get a full-size fridge, you get a small stove and a small oven. And now somebody's like, what does that mean? It means it's 18 to 24 inches for your stove and for your oven. Two burners, maybe. If you're lucky, you got two burners. Sometimes it's a hot plate and not even an entire stove. So just be aware of that. But Kendall College does offer student campus, just off campus living, somewhere on Jackson. And you can pick a dorm or you can pick an apartment. You will most likely be sharing your dorm or apartment with other people. The apartments can house up to four separate people. You have a shared living room area. I believe there's two bathrooms. I don't live on campus. This is what the other kids have told me. But the thing is, whichever one you go with, the average cost that for the last year has been $13,500. This does not include food. This doesn't even necessarily include a place to keep food. The apartments do have kitchens, or my understanding, but they're not great kitchens. They're like an extended stay hotel kitchen. So exactly what we've been talking about. But you have to, of course, like any dorm, bring your own cooking utensils, your own pots, pans. The dorms don't have any sort of kitchenette for the kids to use. They have one community kitchen in their community living room space. And just on one floor. Not on every floor, one floor, is what the kids have told me. It is also not a great kitchen from what I understand. It's not like there's multiple stoves. There is one really not great one. There is one refrigerator for the kids to share. There are vending machines though. You know, you can bring your own personal fridge into the room. And then you also get to have roommates. So that's fun. And I've heard horror stories, and then I've seen people make best friends with roommates. And I've seen that my whole life where, you know, your dorm mate becomes your very best friend for the rest of your life, or they're your worst enemy and you're stuck with them. It's just kind of what you get stuck with, I suppose. Okay, and then we were talking about insurance. Yes, I am jumping around my checklist because I can't focus. Now, before you decide you want to go to culinary school, it's kind of scary when you look up graduation rate numbers. They're not great, guys. Graduation rates for the pastry program is 41%. Graduation rate for the culinary program is 42%. That's less than half. And we'll take a quick discussion into why. But, you know, just thinking about this, Kendall College, within 6 months of graduation, 88% of their culinary students are placed in a professional situation. 92% of their pastry students are placed. So So not a great graduation rate, but it's actually relatively high compared to other decent colleges that do the same thing. And their placement rate is actually one of the best. You couldn't really ask for better placement rate. Like the community college that was close to me, you know, it had a higher graduation rate, much lower placement rate. You know, you graduate Kendall College, you have most likely the opportunity to go anywhere in the world. A lot of chefs at Disney, well, for Disney, I shouldn't say just at Disney, they can work wherever they want in the world. A lot of the Disney chefs are Kendall College graduates. The American Culinary Institute, a lot of them come from there as well. And let me tell you, that is one of the other top schools, I might have phrased that wrong. Le Cordon Bleu, like the French one, not the American one necessarily. Also, great placement. All of them have the same common theme of not great graduation rates. I mean, as far as culinary and pastry schools go, their numbers probably don't look terrible, but yeah. Anywho, and just a very realistic look. You are not going to get rich working in the culinary world. If you decide to be a chef at a restaurant, it takes a long time to hit executive chef. This is not something that happens quickly unless you get really lucky, especially without training. If you want to move to Chicago and become executive chef, unless you have the money to buy your own place and do your own thing, it takes years. It takes years to become a chef. It takes years to be an executive chef. Truth be told, unless you just happen to be that talented and that in demand, you will probably be in your mid to late 30s before you're an executive chef anywhere, depending on where you're at. Like, in Chicago, there's a lot more opportunity than, shall we say, Davenport, Iowa. In Davenport, Iowa, there's exactly 5 really nice restaurants with chefs that I would say everyone needs to check out. One of which I won't mention too much. He is probably one of the best chefs in the area. I won't even mention the name of his place because his whole goal is to keep it low-key, to keep it fun, but because he is such an amazing chef, it's much busier than what he originally intended, but that busyness is what's going to keep him in business. The people bitch, whine, and complain about the place don't understand the concept, and his concept is, hey, I want to do what I want to do, but I have to do it within cost. And honestly, I'm hard to work with, and I know it. He is hard to work with to the point where I've heard he is pretty abusive, and because he knows it, he's just decided to have a restaurant where there's exactly like 5 employees. So, yeah. He has opened several places in the same area. He's a great chef. Can't say too much about him other than that, to try and respect his concept of, I don't want everyone to know where we are. We are the only one-star restaurant in the area. And his current restaurant is not in Davenport, Iowa. It is across the river, about 20 minutes out. But yeah, they are a one-star restaurant. That is the thing, that he is actually serving 5-star food, but he wants it to be a 1-star rating so people don't want to go there. So weird. There is always a line. It's really hard to get into. But yeah, the other really great chef is his chef, Jeremy. I'm not even pretending to announce his last name. He's at Duck City Bistro. He gives you a small show with dinner. Totally worth visiting. Honestly, watching him and tasting his food is one of the big things that really encouraged me to work harder. He is apparently very hard to work for, but the quality of his dishes shows. Their pride in his restaurant, their pride in what he presents, is apparent. If you cannot stand up to his standard, get the hell out of the kitchen. And by the way, that's an Iowa chef. If you can't stand up to an Iowa chef standard, don't even fucking bother anywhere else. And forgive my language, you're gonna hear a lot of swearing. And then there is also the Garrison, relatively new restaurant. It's been through 2 executive chefs. And because they've been through 2 executive chefs, the sous chef got to skip a step. And now, rather than trying to find another executive chef to take over, this place has been open just over a year now. They let their sous chef get promoted to their executive chef. And I will say, he is wonderful chef. He is a wonderful, wonderful chef. His food is delicious. His food is delicious, and you know, for he's all of 25, maybe 26 years old now. My oldest child actually works in the same restaurant. They're pretty close. He started out at Duck City with Chef Jeremy, and Chef Jeremy actually went to Le Cordon Bleu in both France and in London, England. However, he has never worked anywhere but right there in Davenport, Iowa. Duck City was originally owned by his dad. There's another place around there that his dad also owned. He started off doing salads for the other place, and his dad moved him over to Duck City. And it's actually a pretty fun story. Chef Jeremy recently won, or I guess a couple years ago now, won an award for like Iowa's top chef. However, when I moved here and started my orientation, and they're like, well, what are the big restaurants around you? No one had ever heard of Chef Jeremy. No one had ever heard of Duck City, which to me was kind of surprising because I thought some people had at least heard of it in the culinary world. I have had neighbors in my neighborhood that have heard of it when they've had reason to go that way. But no one in the culinary world of Kendall College at least seems to have heard of it, not even once. Even people who have kids that go to school in Iowa at the University of Iowa, which is all of 45 minutes away from that restaurant, have not heard of it. So, you know, just be aware if you're going to go into the culinary world, and if you work for the best chef in your area, if they have not left the area, like the chef at the Garrison, he's never left Davenport himself. He did not go to culinary school. He's only worked under Chef Jeremy as far as prestigiousness of that area goes. He's a wonderful chef. But, you know, if he came here, everyone would be like, who? That's certainly something to think about. I kind of hope for Gray's sake that he expands, maybe decides to go to culinary school or try to come here for or go to France or anywhere to try to expand himself a little bit. I hope the same for my son, honestly. I offered to not go to school so he could go to school because I think he has the talent to do what he wants to do. He just needs to learn how to do it right, not just Gray's way. No offense to Gray, he's a great kid. Other than that, I think we kind of covered everything I wanted to cover this first episode. Just a reiteration, yeah, it's expensive to move to the Chicago area, but that's something we'll get into deeper next time. It's expensive to go to any college, even community college anymore. It's getting pretty pricey. If anyone has any questions, feel free to leave a comment, and I will certainly, hopefully, be pretty good about answering it. By the time this is fully edited and posted, I'm going on vacation, and then hopefully I'll have one more episode recorded and put out before that, and yeah, it's in a week, so we'll see. And then as soon as I get back, no kidding when I say that, like, the day I get back, I have to be on a train at 5 a.m. to make it to my class in the city at 7 a.m., and God knows what I'm going to do for the hour and a half between class and the train getting into town, because the building doesn't open until a half hour before the class starts. So, yay! And I can't take a later train or I will be late to school. It's great. Yay, public transit. Which I'm not knocking. I actually very much like taking the train. I suggest it. But anyway, rambling again. I apologize. Next time we're going to talk about the finding the house and moving here. The dumpster fires of houses we saw, some of the cool things we saw, some of the really sad and boring things we saw, as well as the prices that went along with those, prices of apartments in the area, all kinds of stuff we're going to talk about next time. We're going to talk about my orientation to Kendall, first impressions of the chefs that we met, of the rest of the administrative staff, including student advisors for your academics, financials, career advisors. There's all kinds of advisors. So it'll hopefully be fun. Might be a shorter episode unless I get really wrapped up talking about houses. But I'm gonna go. I have never tried to really edit anything in my life before. Now I have to figure out how to cut and paste this together before my daughter wakes up from her nap. I hope everyone has a great holiday. Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah to everyone who celebrates. And to those who don't, I still hope you have a wonderful time. I personally am loving the fact that for about 5 seconds, I thought I was going to have a white Christmas, but it's going to melt and rain, so be it. Another quick ad, now that I'm thinking about it. I am going to Disney World for my vacation, so we might also derail a little bit and talk about Disney World and the food. I've heard really mixed reviews, so I'm kind of excited to go. We were doing it on a strict budget, so I have to be really selective. I guess the thing people always say is, like and share or something like that. Please do. You know, if I don't get people to listen to this, there's not really a point in doing it, except I guess as some sort of diary, but that's lame. That's what writing is for. But yeah, if you want to like it, share it with other people who might be interested, that'd be great. As it goes on, like I've said before, I really hope I'm, you know, for those who are considering this particular path, hopefully it's enlightening for you and you can follow along maybe on your own path with me. For those who are just thinking about career changes or they're older, hopefully it's something you can listen to and find encouragement in and just, you know, that's kind of the whole point of this is career changes later in life and kind of talking my way through it. And hopefully there's other people going through the same thing who can share and be a part of it. And yeah, just because it's based in the pastry world doesn't mean we can't talk to people who maybe did the same thing, but for a different reason. Maybe you decided you didn't want to be a pastry chef anymore and found out you preferred to be a kindergarten teacher, which if that is what you did, God bless you. I can't do that. I can do any kind of education like that. My kids drive me crazy. But yeah, hopefully we'll hear from people. Any feedback, as long as it's good criticism of like, hey, this is what we suggest you do, and it's kind hearted and not just being negative, is appreciated. I'm sure I'll hear some negative stuff as well because it's just how the world rolls. But, you know, any helpful feedback is always welcome, guys. I'm new to this, and like I said, I don't have the proper equipment, so I do apologize for sound quality. Hopefully, as time rolls on, if this is moderately successful, I can get sponsors and maybe even buy decent equipment. So, thanks again. Hopefully, I get to record another episode soon. Thank you.